All lines are now bridged.
Great. Thank you very much. Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and welcome to our USCDI Task Force number two. We're going to get started with roll call. And so when I call out your name, if you can indicate your presence, that will be great. And then we'll get started afterwards. I'll start with our co-chairs, Stephen Lane and Terry O'Malley.
This is Stephen. I'm here.
This is Terry. I'm here. Hello.
Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning. I'm here.
Hans Buchenzuck.
Hello, Hans.
Leslie Kelly Hall.
Here. Thank you.
Jim Gerges.
Present.
Ken Komoto.
Good morning.
Leslie Leonard. Clem McDonald. Aaron Mary. Brett Oliver.
Good morning.
Mark Savage.
Good morning, here.
Michelle Schreiber.
Good morning, here.
Sasha Termott.
Good morning.
Andy Truscott. Cheryl Turney.
Good morning.
Dan Breeman.
Good morning, I'm here.
And Denise Webb. Is there anyone that didn't call out their name?
I couldn't. This is Les Leonard. I couldn't tell if I was on mute.
Thank you. All right, I'll turn it over to our co-chairs, Stephen Lane and Terry O'Malley. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike. I do want to point out, as you went through the roster, which is actually on the next slide, maybe we can just drop down to that for a moment. You did not call Valerie Gray because we heard from her just recently that she is not going to have time to participate with us. So she will be removed from the roster, and I just wanted to call that out. She had conflicting issues she had to deal with. And we did hear early that Aaron Mary dropped in and then had to leave. So we will proceed. Let's see. On the next slide, we review our task force charge. Terry, did you want to take this? I can't remember.
I think this is all yours, but it doesn't matter.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. I'll go ahead. You'll notice that we've reformatted this ever so slightly. We've added numbers and letters instead of just the bullets that were on the earlier version. And we feel that this will make it easier for us to find our way around the document and the charges that we have. So we will be referring to charges 1, 2, 3 and sub charges A, B, and C under 1 and 2. The other thing that we want to call out was that there was a slight change in the wording. And I think Al or Mike, clarify for me. I think this is under...
It was charge number 3. We changed
charge number 3.
We changed the phrase areas of prioritization to priorities to allow a little
right.
bit more flexibility in how the task force approaches charge 3.
Right, and this was meant to accommodate the task force's desire to potentially develop a set of guiding principles when we take up to charge 3 after April. So rather than specifically charge us with developing guiding principles, they just changed the wording in such a way that it felt that it gave us that latitude. Anyone have any questions about that? Good. I really want to acknowledge the flexibility that the ONC has shown here in supporting us, you know, in our early work. All right. So let's just pop back up to slide 2, the agenda, just so that we have a clear clear set of marching orders here for our time together. We've managed the first two here. I think, Terry, you are going to talk about the out-of-scope issues, or I can either way. Then we're going to focus in on tasks now, what we're calling 1A and B, and then we'll close up with public comment as usual. Any questions or comments about the agenda for today? All right, very good. Then let's pop down to slide 5, which is regarding out-of-scope tasks. Terry, do you want to take this?
Sure. So this is a real short one. So Stephen's going to talk to us about what's in scope and also briefly what we're not going to do. So it's pretty clear that what ONC wants us not to do is to get into the weeds on level one and comment level data elements, because in a sense, they're still being adjudicated and they're part of an ongoing communication between ONC and the submitters to properly level these comments. And so I think if we were to wade into that process, we would only muddy the water rather than make ONC's task easier. And I think we'll see what a monumental task it is, because although we won't wade in and put our votes in about where the proper level is for these data elements, we are ultimately going to take a look at them as part of our work of prioritizing, of sort of assessing how the process itself overall is going, how the priorities are being made, what are the principles for merging and splitting data elements, and just basically what the workflow is for ONC. So we will take a look at these elements, but that's going to be later on in our process. In the meantime, what we will instead be doing is focusing on tasks 1A and 1B. That's our charge for today. So any questions on what we're not going to do with this?
This is Mark. It's not a question, but just a comment, if that's okay.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So I recognize that this is the scope that's being defined for us. I wish we were looking at level one and able to provide comments as a part of what we're submitting for April 15th. I've been looking at the USCDI like all of you. There's a lot of things that I wish were in that are not. Some of them in level one, like the primary care provider, are things that people really need to have. I would take a broader view and not look at what's classified as level one among submitters, but instead take a strategic view and ask, what do we need now? And at least have some level of conversation about whether we think there are elements that should be a part of USCDI V2 going forward without taking those off the table at the beginning. Thanks.
And Mark, thank you for those comments. I think I'll just add that we are relying on ONC to have done the technical analysis of the individual elements early on. And some of us, you know, were involved in the first two rounds of the USCDI task force. But it was made very clear that we really can't bring things forward to USCDI until they've been used, they've been tested, they've been exchanged, et cetera. So those sort of technical feasibility issues are not left to us to evaluate or adjudicate. That ONC did that work in determining the level for each of the proposed data classes and elements. We obviously could quibble with their assessments, but I think the place to do that is in the comments on the webpage. I think if we individually or as organizations disagree with the leveling, we can submit those comments there but we just don't have time, unfortunately, within our task force to address those here. I think we're going to have enough to do as it is. So I'm not defending that, but just trying to clarify that that's what I think led to our scope.
Yeah, and I think Mark, we're going to find that there are hundreds of data elements that are in comments on level one that we would wish were in USCDI. And the fact of the matter is that USCDI is never going to be big enough to hold everything that we want to put in it. But we share your pain. And I think we'll have lots of opportunities to discuss how we might tweak some of the data elements, we'll get into a whole bunch of things. So stay tuned. And thanks for your comments. Stephen, you want to get us back to our charge?
Sure. Let's go back to slide six now, which again is a reminder of what was in USCDI version one, which is those things that don't have stars on them, and what is now included in USCDI version two. So our first task, task 1A, was to look at data classes and elements from USCDI version one, including applicable standards version updates. And we talked about the standards version, the proposed standards version updates last time. If we pop forward to slide eight, we can be reminded of that, those changes. And a number of you individually, you know, weighed in with your general sense that this was appropriate and that the right standards were being advanced to the right levels. Did anyone have anything else that they wanted to add regarding that aspect of Task 1A, the standards versions, that this group should contemplate while we're meeting, or do we feel that this is fine and we should just check that box as completed?
Stephen, this is Hans Bartenek. I think the part and maybe you said it, but I didn't quite catch it, is that from a vocabulary perspective, I think that's correct in terms of other standards that are applicable that are named or maybe needed in USCDI V2. That's, I think, where there still might be further discussion where it gets to syntax or otherwise to express the data that is being contemplated. But from a vocabulary perspective, I would agree.
Yeah, and Hans, you did share that last time, and I thought to say, and I'll say it now, should we change this slide to say updated applicable vocabulary standards versions, because that is really what it's focusing on.
That will be very helpful to avoid any confusion.
ONC, would you be comfortable with that, or should we just jot that down to go into our report to HITAC?
We could clarify that the use of that term applicable standards is what was used in the version one standard. If we look at each individual data element and data class, there is a column referencing the applicable standard, and it's called applicable standard. But if it improves the clarity of what we mean by applicable standard by adding applicable vocabulary standard, I think that would be something that we could consider, along with other changes for clarity for the standard document.
And then Hans, do you feel that there is a need, looking back at version one and now going forward to version two, to include other standards? You mentioned syntax in particular.
I think as we're looking at version two draft in particular, what's being proposed and not, and when we talked last time, about other proposals building on standards that are already in place as part of certification. To what extent can they require some additional development or not, and trying to balance that. Then at that point in time, I think we're going to be looking at FHIR, at CCDA in particular, and see whether that's sufficiently in place to enable USCDI version 2 to then be operational as is, or that additional development would be needed to enable that. I think that's the part where those are other standards. They are referenced in effectively in through certification and USCDI as well as the standards that support the ability to access and exchange that information. So I think that's the area where we will have to look at some point in time and say, are they sufficient? Do we need a little bit extra? And is the extra that we need acceptable to be to then have to become part of SFAP as well to make it happen?
Great. Thank you.
Stephen, so this is Leslie.
Yes, Les. Sorry.
I have a comment.
I'm trying to manage their hand raising at the same time as everything else. So Leslie, hold that thought. Dan Riemann, who's only with us for about another 6 minutes, had a comment. So I'm going to let you go first, Dan.
Thanks. My comment was just that I believe this reflects the reality today quite well, and I'm totally happy with it. I will note that the world keeps evolving, and so by the time USCDI, is finalized in July, that I would expect at least some of these vocabularies could be updated. So LOINC would typically have a new version come out in June, for example, and whether the group wanted to make a comment about that provision, meaning when should we sort of set the marker for, current version as of X date, and whether we want that to, in our consideration, be, a finalization publication date or, today as we discuss this right now.
That's a good point, Dan, and I think we'll need to discuss that with ONC whether, there will be some even newer standards that we could point to before they publish this later this year. Dan, again, I know your time is short, but you did forward us some key document that included specific comments related to existing data elements and classes in version 1. So if we can go back up to slide 7, again, part of our charge 1A is looking at the data classes and elements in version 1 and providing any comments on that. So Leslie, I've got you in the queue in my head, even though you took your hand down. But Dan, do you want to take a moment and provide verbally your comments regarding version 1 data elements?
Sure. Thanks, Stephen. And I am in the process of submitting them formally for the record to the site. But two things stood out to me. One is the existing data class and data elements around assessment and plan of treatment. My sense from the industry is that these are quite vaguely specified. In part, there is no applicable standard named, and the definition provided doesn't help too much. And so without an anchoring to something more precise, I think implementers are left wondering, is this assessment and plan of treatment meant to be, for example, only the A&P sections of a clinical note? Is it an activity, for example, like assessing their readiness for return to work or support? Is it a diagnosis or a functional impairment or a condition, a scale? Or is it, in effect, the whole care plan or plan of care or something altogether different? I'm just giving examples of possible interpretations, noting that the FHIR US core sort of replication or equivalence of this is a profile on the plan of care resource. So without further clarification, I feel that it might be worth, frankly, removing this from the listing. So that was kind of one point. The second was, and I believe Clem may have some discussion on this later, but regarding the move elements for laboratory report narrative and pathology report narrative. In particular, there's some confusion about that laboratory report narrative data element, how it relates to lab tests that are reported as text as opposed to quantitative things versus comments or the sort of interpretation field of an observation or sort of the whole diagnostic report, which has some elements of narrative inside of it. I feel like these are important clarifications to make as it sits now within the context of that data class, which has specific codes for the observation and a separate data element representing the results. So thanks for the opportunity to briefly summarize those two points.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dan. And Dan made a key point at the beginning, which is that he's preparing his comments to submit through the website. And Dan also has some comments about some of the newer recommended data elements that he's going to be submitting there also. I think you all heard, or some of you were also the recipient of some outreach that Terry and Andy Truscott and I made to stakeholders to gain early input that we felt would be helpful to inform the work of our task force. Then we learned afterwards that we can't simply post these to a page or forward them to you for your consideration, because everything that we consider here within the FACA task force needs to be part of the public record. So the means by which you all can share your individual comments or other organizations, including the public, can share their comments really is either by voicing it here at our meetings and making it part of the public record, as Dan just did, or as the public has a chance to do at the end during the public comment period, or posting that feedback to the website, either as text and or as attachments. So we invite all of you, and we have invited everyone who provided input that they wanted to get to this task force with instructions to go back to the website and submit them there. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone was clear on that. So we're back to task 1A, looking at data classes and elements from USCDI version 1 that perhaps need to be clarified, modified, deleted, as Dan suggested. And Leslie Kelly Hall, you had your hand up earlier. Are you still interested in speaking?
I am. It would be really helpful to see by class or maybe a spreadsheet or table that said, here are the things that are in USCDI that don't have standards, have gaps in standards. Here are the things that we're considering in future versions that do have standards, so that we can see where we should be putting our emphasis. And it's difficult to, for instance, goals of care, I couldn't see anything, or patient goals, I couldn't see anything in standards for that, but it could be something we want to monitor and work towards. So it would be helpful to see those kinds of gaps.
Yeah, and I'll just say, Leslie, I think you're right. I mean, that information is available on the website, and the navigation required to sort of drill down and see what has what standards and look at the details, can be a little burdensome. I found that the back button works pretty well, as opposed to clicking up above to get to other pages. But you're right, and we've talked to the ONC team about making some extracts of the individual items that we could have perhaps in a PDF format, including some of that detailed data that's on the site so that one can review it perhaps in PDF as opposed to by navigating the site. But I think your point about which elements have standards associated, that's a key point.
And why I'm suggesting that we put this here as another slide is it's an oversight responsibility as we consider like due diligence, so not just an information item, but something that says, how are we moving along things that have standards or things that don't have standards?
Terry, did you want to jump in?
Although I can hold my comments for a little bit, because I think, Leslie, you're on to a good point, and that basically is separating this oversight function from what the next steps are, which is actually to drill down on some of the data elements themselves. So before I jump in, or anyone else does, any other folks with sort of broad comments on the sort of on Leslie's level at this point? I think these are
this is Mark.
For our work.
This is Mark. I'll just jump in and say what I said in the chat, which is when that ONC came out with the drafting in 2018, it acknowledged that almost all already had some degree of technical standards. So I think that's the, you know, what that degree is an important question, but I think it emphasizes Leslie's point that it's good to have a sense of where we are. And I'd hope we could get that sooner rather than later.
So we have hands raised from Leslie Leonard, followed by Clem McDonald.
I have a really newbie question. What does it mean when it's blank like that, as Leslie was pointing out, and said when there's a category but there's no standard, and Mark and others, that when there's a category but there's nothing listed under, that this is something that we're going to get to eventually, or it's free text, or what does it mean?
I think that's a question for ONC.
So I was waiting for a pause in the action. When there's no applicable standards, one of two things are likely to be the cause of that. One is there may not be a consensus about which standard to use, or a list of standards to use. In other cases, there may be some disagreement in the terminology, vocabulary, binding between consolidated CDA and FHIR US Core. And when there's that, when there are those misalignments or they're different, if we were to have an applicable standard, that would impose a higher bar compared to those other ones, and it would almost be a breaking change where you couldn't conform to USCDI and US Core at the same time or any other combination.
So if it's blank, it means you just haven't decided yet.
I wouldn't say that. I would say that where there are clearly identifiable applicable standards that everybody agrees to and everybody uses, we'll generally put that in there. But when those things are not the case, then we have not specified it in USD.
So is the job of the committee then to make recommendations on how to fill in the blank, or is it just that we support you when you decide to fill it in? Or I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm just trying to if somebody was trying to implement this, which they will start to be very quickly. It seems like a pretty significant gap not to have any directions there.
Yeah, Les, I would suggest that our task 1A certainly could be interpreted to include the recommendation or specification of standards where they are lacking. Would you agree, Al?
Yes, I think that's certainly in scope. And then we'll take that information. Maybe things have changed over the last year, and it becomes more clear what the most appropriate applicable standard that everyone will have to conform to. We'll certainly take that note.
And again, all of the members of the task force are also individuals. So you're welcome to bring those suggestions here to us for potential inclusion in our recommendations back to HITAC in the April timeframe, and or submit them yourself as comments on the website. I'll just follow on the comment that Les made, which is I assume that the absence of a specified or applicable standard does not in any way decrease the requirement for actors to access, exchange, and use the data, correct? I mean, you're still required to do it. You just presumably need to figure out on your own how you're going to do that.
That's correct. And the same sort of requirement to exchange a concept or a data element that that happens in the exchange standards as well. It may not specify what terminology binding applies to, you know, a particular section or entry in CCDA or resource or attribute in FHIR.
Clem, so, do you want to comment? Oh, sorry, Les, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, doesn't that mean we have to go ahead, Clem? Sorry.
Well, I just wanted to, I mean, it's in the chat, but I wanted to clarify the question that came up. We already have a solution to the next versions that are coming out. Ankh already has said explicitly, and it's in the chat by others, that a new version has come out. People are allowed to use them. They don't have to wait for Mother May I, another committee meeting.
Well, I don't think that's complete, Clem, because they need to be specified as being part of the standards version advancement process, the SVAP, before one can use the new version in place of the older version.
Well, I disagree. We ought to talk to I. It's not workable the other way, but that is that there. I thought it was just stated at a previous meeting from the ONC folks.
Yeah.
Right.
Clem, that's correct. So if individual vocabulary versions can be used in systems, if a product was to update to USCDI version 2, they would have to update all of the versions of all of the vocabulary standards that are specified, as opposed to, let's say, we're only going to update versions every year, but versions come out every 2 years. I mean, every 6 months or every quarter, like some of them do, then you could pick individual standards to update on any given time. But if USCDI, if you updated USCDI V2, you'd have to update all 8 or 9 standards at once.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks for that clarification. That's great. Okay, Hans?
Yes, the one question that comes up is that what standards are we looking for? I think here we need to be careful about then, or considerate about the distinction between standards and implementation guidance. There may be the ability that the standard can handle it, the data that's being proposed or considered, but that there is perhaps not sufficient guidance, implementation guidance, by way of if we use FHIR as the example, the FHIR standard might be able to accommodate it, but US Core might not have full guidance on it yet, or other guidance to make sure that the standard is used consistently and appropriately so that we can scale it easily and everybody will be close enough to pick it up. So we have to be cautious about when we say standards, are we thinking just FHIR R4, let's say, or are we also thinking US Core and an SDOH implementation guide or another implementation guide that really achieves that level of consistency that we're looking for before you can scale it to a level that is that everybody will do it the same, more or less.
And I would think, Hans, that those would be appropriate comments to place at the individual data class or element level where you felt that was lacking.
Correct.
And I just wanted to sort of clarify something, and it kind of raises the point about using the term applicable vocabulary standards versus applicable standards. With respect to a USCDI data element, either one coming from version 1 or version 2, we're not talking about the implementation in US Core or in CCDA of that data element. We're talking about how to represent the data element itself. So applicable standard refers to the vocabulary standard to represent the data element, not the implementation part of it. That's part of the overall developmental burden that we've addressed. Does that make that clearer?
Question that I would have then is that if we only look at the vocabulary standards as the applicable standards in context of USCDI, and data is being proposed for inclusion, and the other standards that enable the actual exchange of it in a predictable format and placement, then are we achieving what we want to achieve? Because at the same point in time, certainly in certification, the notion is that to implement USCDI, one should use FHIR and CCDA to do that. So if we already know as part of defining USCDI version 2 or any version that in that space, the vocabulary might be well defined, but the other standards are not sufficiently defined to achieve some of the objectives. Does that is that the, one of the principles we should use on whether to include or recommend it for USCDI version 2 or any other version? So it's a little bit of a challenge as to what is the prior or what's the criterion based on which something is ready to go into USCDI.
I think my short answer would just be if we, you know, our decision to put it in the USCDI version 2 draft weighed the potential implementation burdens or developmental burdens for the exchange standards such as, you know, US Core and CCDA. So that was part of the consideration for adding it to the list of USCDI. The question that we have for this particular task is, did we pick the right vocabulary standard? That's the scope of the question.
Okay.
All right. We remain on task 1A related to data elements and classes from USCDI version 1. Does anyone have any other comments that they wanted to bring forward?
Yeah, Stephen, let me chime in here. I think this is an area that has the potential to blow up widely because USCDI V1 had a lot of partially completed data classes. One of the issues I think we need to wrestle with as a task force is going to be part of our job maybe to go back and flesh out some of those partially clarified data classes in V1. As an example, and this will warm Clem's heart, is sort of the issue of laboratory tests. How broad is our concept of laboratory? You know, does that include procedures? Does it include, you know, reports for EKGs and spirometry and nerve conduction and LPs and all the things that have text, which then makes it almost a procedure note? You know, can we broaden laboratory to include a bunch of other elements that are not traditionally thought of as lab? That'd be one question I'd throw out there.
Well, since you mentioned my name, they're not usually thought of as lab tests. So I can...
I'm sorry, Clem, I missed the last part.
Well, I mean, I think they're very similar in function, and a lot of them are reported in the same kind of structure as you do in FHIR, and so that there's be nice to have it cover all those. But I think there's a clarity in the clinical world of what a laboratory test is, and it doesn't include EKGs.
Okay, I think that's a gray area. Anyway. Okay.
Well, we're both internists, but I would fall out. I bet if you voted on it, no, internists won't think of EKG as a lab test. Then go to the lab.
So where do we want them to go?
Well, we've got to have them. I'm for that. Yeah, then they're in a similar form. I mean, if you're saying we should use the same strategy for all the tests, I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure we'd get away with it, but that's the point. I think, you know, do we take some of the concepts that were in V1 and stretch them, nearer to beyond recognition, or, you know, do we need to come up with new data classes? I guess part of that's an ONC response. But it's, you know, the practical matter is how do we get more into USCDI? And if we take that approach, what does that do to the burden of implementation, which I think is one of the heavily weighted criteria that ONC uses?
So, Terry, I think that, you know, this reminds me of other areas where the ONC has published FAQs to clarify their guidance or sub-regulatory guidance, if you will. And I think your point about EKGs, you know, as a subset of cardiopulmonary testing in general, but you could imagine all sorts of other kinds of testing, you know, audiograms or fetal monitor strips or, you know, you name it. Does ONC intend for that to be included in the laboratory test results and in the laboratory, the result narrative? Or, as you say, are we awaiting future data classes to capture cardiovascular testing, specifying the individual elements, capturing pulmonary testing, capturing you name it? Maybe Al, could you comment on that?
I wanted to reference what the, you know, the current definition of laboratory test is, and I don't have it memorized. The ability to capture a group of concepts, be it all of the procedure type things that you just mentioned, cardiovascular procedures, any other sorts of procedures you can imagine, that could be a gap in USCDI, where it's either not laboratory is not broad enough, the definition of laboratory test is not broad enough to incorporate that, and so we can't require that everybody be able to capture all those other tests. The short answer is that may actually be a gap in USCDI, either version one or version two. If it's appropriate to capture it under laboratory data, then it could be done, but it may not be.
So perhaps that's an area that our task force can address in our report to HITAC, and which typically would then be accepted by HITAC as the report back to ONC. So we need to start a list of these things that are going to end up in our report.
And then, Stephen, that sort of along the same lines of taking a prior V1 item and sort of expanding it out in ways that were discussed last year. But one would be in the area of provenance, where we really limited it to the author organization and author timestamp. But there were a whole bunch of other concepts that we played with under provenance that certainly have value. One is making sure that author includes a designation for patient-generated data, as an example. If we're identifying authors, then one of the author types should be the patient, the individual, perhaps even their immediate caregivers, just to expand out the how we identify author.
And Terry, just to be clear, that under provenance on level two, author is specified as a level two item that was not brought forward into draft version two. And similarly, when you look down at level one, source is specified under provenance. And under comment, there's a whole bunch of additional items under additional data elements under provenance that were leveled as comments. So I think a lot of, you know, what you're pointing out, you know, those stakeholders have submitted new data elements to go under provenance. And, you know, again, one of them is in level two. One of them is in level one, and then there's about 10 of them, I think, in the comment level.
Yeah, and then there's sort of a general comment that could apply to almost any list that we can think of, allergies, meds, problems, goals, would be sort of the who did it and what was the date of the last review. And it's because one of the real tremendous problems is maintaining all of these lists. You know, what's the latest data? Who did it? you know, is this a problem list from 2 years ago or is this the current one? So again, just as a concept that we might want to wrestle with at some point. And whether that fits under provenance or somewhere else, don't know. But we'll have lots of things to do.
So we have a number of hands raised. Les Leonard?
I meant to bring mine down, sorry.
Okay. Leslie Kelly Hall? Hers is down. Now we've got Michelle Schreiber.
Hi. Yes, hi, thank you. Good morning. You know, just to complicate this, I guess, even further, it does seem to me that the underlying question is the philosophy of what's in USCDI. If this is ever meant to be kind of the total repository of standardized data elements in the country, or if there are going to be other areas that, you know, encompass standardized data elements. I will only add, and you guys have heard this from me, a few of you have, at least some of the concerns from CMS. So we obviously have quality measures programs and elements in that that the country has to report for the most part. And yet of the four electronic clinical quality, of the 57 quality measures that we have that are electronic, only four of them are supported by the data elements of USCDI, and there are things that I think we agree that almost everybody would want: encounter disposition, encounter location, for us, Medicare ID, patient ID number, organization ID, that we think cross lots of areas that people would use, as well as some other more specific categories. So the question is, how big do we think USCDI should be? How all-encompassing, and what do we do for things that are truly federal programs that need support? So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. And I just want to note for the benefit of the task force as a whole that Michelle did reach out to us with some of these comments in greater detail. And we are planning a meeting between CMS and ONC to talk that through. I think it is a key question as to how much USCDI should expand, how quickly to meet the needs of various stakeholder groups, CMS obviously being a key one of those. And this is a decision that ONC will need to make as they finalize version 2. But certainly, you know, all of us have an opportunity to comment on that. Ricky?
Thanks. Unfortunately, I have to drop off at 8:30, but I have a quick comment and question about the, let's see, can you hear me? I'm getting a note.
Yes.
Okay, great.
I can hear you.
Quick comment about the mechanics of feedback here. I heard earlier in the call that you mentioned that all feedback needs to be given publicly, which is, you know, totally makes sense. The question is whether that feedback can only come during the audio portions of these calls, or if there will be a mechanism to provide feedback in written form in other ways. And trying to think about how, you know, some of us are more visual, and having a document of some sort that lists all of the elements of the USCDI along with, you know, the current standards, as well as comments from members of this group about those individual standards, as a cohesive, consolidated document would be really, really helpful, given that sometimes, you know, these meetings are incredibly rich in terms of feedback, but it's hard to kind of wrap my mind around everything that's happened without seeing it in front of me. So I'm wondering if something like that is planned, whether it's either meeting minute notes or some sort of collaborative document that is publicly available and accessible so that we can see all this feedback in one place.
Thank you, Ricky. Again, that's very similar to feedback that we've already given to ONC, and they are considering how to provide that. And thanks others for chiming in with support for this idea. I think the way you laid it out, Ricky, the idea of a document for each data class, each data element that includes you know, its specifications from the website and all of the comments that have come. Obviously, comments can be coming in real time, so those would obviously need to be updated over time. But I think that would help us all to be able to dig deeper into those. Your point about documents to be displayed and discussed, I think that would probably be fine in the course of our meetings if somebody had a document that we could bring forward and display to the group as a whole. That would be a means by which it would be entered into the public record, and it could be posted to the ONC website for historical record keeping. Mike, do you agree? Mike or Alex?
Yeah. Yep.
And then, Stephen, the other point, and to Ricky's as well, is that we are publishing meeting notes on HITECH. I believe it's, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's on the HITECH Task Force website. And we have first meeting notes that we're finishing right now that will be posted. So there's a bit of a lag, but we'll post meeting notes, which include the typed comments as well as summary of audio comments.
Okay, the hands are down. Can we go to slide 9? So this is part of our task 1A. I think we're moving on to task 1B, actually. This is very exciting. Where we are now starting to look not just at comments related to version 1 and applicable standards, but now looking at the new content that's come forward in V2. So the first piece of V2 is this notion that certain items have been reclassified. So there are two or three actually clinical note types that were specified in V1 that have now been moved over into these new data classes for diagnostic imaging and laboratory. To me personally, that seemed fairly straightforward, but does anyone on the task force have any specific comments or concerns or suggestions related to the reclassification of the clinical note data elements into these new categories?
Stephen, this is Hans. Just raised my hand on this. Question is that not whether the reclassification generally is a concern. I think it makes a lot of sense to have them in those areas in context, but that then immediately raises the question, as you look inside diagnostic imaging as an example, what is now the difference between the imaging narrative and the imaging report as an example? So how do we want to further look at that? Is it really the aspect of the report that needs to include a narrative component to it? Is it something separate? So I think that's where we then need to look at a little bit further to see, yes, that's the right place for it to be, but are we creating a duplication of sorts, or should we integrate that?
And in addition to raising the question, Hans, do you have any suggested answer?
Suggestion is to consider it more part of the report, where there is a narrative component to that, that depending on the report, in the case of diagnostic imaging, narrative plus other data, but in other cases it might be more narrative, less narrative, but it's part of a report where that's included. That would be the initial reaction to look at.
Thank you. Anything else on the reclassification of the clinical note data elements?
This is Ricky. My comment was very similar to Hans. I completely agree here with this reclassification. I think that makes sense. But similar to what Hans was saying previously, there is some inconsistency in what is now present here and what is in US Core, where U.S. Core has in their clinical notes guidance, the first five categories are consistent with the first five categories that are listed here on this slide. And then they have three additional categories, which says three diagnostic report categories which systems shall support, and that is cardiology, pathology, and radiology. And you can certainly see some overlap with the pathology report here, but then the cardiology and radiology, you could say, well, radiology is diagnostic imaging, pathology is laboratory report, but just making that explicit that these are referring to the same categories within US Core, I think could be helpful just because the terminology is a little bit different. And then we can talk further on about the additional three note types that are referred to in US Core as part of the CDI.
I'll just tell the team that I've lost my connection to Adobe Connect, and I don't seem to be able to reestablish it quickly. So, Terry, do you want to sort of grab the baton and move it forward since I can't see raised hands or the slides?
Sure. So we're done with this slide, I trust?
No, we're not. I got my hands up. I'd like to respond to this discussion of these narratives. I think the diagnostic imaging narrative should just be eliminated. It's very confusing. You know, it says it's the interpretation, but it's more an interpretation. It's saying what it really says, it's a consultant's response to a diagnostic image. And I'm not sure what that is. So I would propose we drop it. The same with the other two narratives, because or certainly clarify it a whole lot. If it is when an independent consultant, not the radiologist, describes something, well, okay, but then it should be spelled out.
Clem, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying about independent consultant.
Well,
I mean, I think of the imaging narrative as the radiologist's report in text.
Well, there's another place where we have radiologist reports, all of them. We have imaging reports. So that's why it's confusing. That both of the earlier speakers said, we have a place for that, and it's all spelled out. And this is something extra. And I think what the definition says, it's a consultant's something related to an imaging report, if you get into the definition. And I think it's a mistake.
Al, can you clarify?
Yeah, I think what Clem is referring to is the data element definition in the US CDI standard document itself. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Clem? Yeah, we have a data element definition, which, you know, currently for imaging, the data element is called imaging narrative in US CDI version 1, and it says contains a consultant specialist interpretation of image data. I would welcome any suggestions to improving that data definition.
Well, we ought to clarify this is not the radiologist report. That I think is certain, because there's another place you've got a whole class for that. So there is a case that often happens where, say, an orthopedist wants to look at the bone thing and do a report, that would fit, but then we should explain it that way.
And this is the clarification that we'd like to have. One thing that I wanted to convey, and I've done this in standards doc and I've discussed it with the US Core group as well, the intent of having these three data elements in US CDI is to convey the desire to be able to capture narrative or free text elements of a report.
That's the standard radiologist report. It's all narrative.
No, it's not. No, it's some of it is standardized, including some of the technical specifications of the study, the patient, the provider, the ordering provider. Those are structured elements of a report. And there are narrative or free text portions of a structured report that the whole purpose behind adding clinical notes is to be able to preserve the ability to capture and share free text.
No, I'm for it. But every single report I've seen in the last 20 years from radiology is it's just text. It's not coming across as a fire structure, as a V2 structure. Now, sometimes they break them apart into sections, but they're all narrative.
Well, yeah, so Clem, I think what Al is saying is that this is not something different. This reference to specialist consultant, I think, is a reference to the radiologist who interprets the report, not some secondary review a neurosurgeon or somebody else.
Then it duplicates the other section. It gives codes for all the diagnostic narrative of all the imaging reports if something's wrong.
Yeah, I think one of the things that might help with this a little bit, and I put the link to the clinical notes guidance from US Corps in the chat here. They try to break this down a little bit and even provide sort of a Venn diagram between how this could be implemented. And I think it's important to note that for the EHR vendors that have already implemented US Corps, this is generally the guidance they have followed. And so it's important to know that there are many health systems today that already support this type of interaction based on guidance from US Corps.
Well, there's another problem. You have one code for what are over 6,000 different diagnostic reports in radiology alone. And the other part of the proposal specifies that you can use all of them to distinguish the reports as they come across. So there's something's broken. There's just a deep misunderstanding somewhere. And what's going to happen then, there's going to be no information in the report code if they all use a single code.
So, Clem, I think just to clarify your question, if you can perhaps send us an email spelling out just what you think is duplicative, you know, this with that, so that we can get that to the ONC team.
Well, could you just put, I mean, I did. You've got an email from me this morning, but could you just pull up the USCDI and show that there's another place that has imaging reports?
So are you referring to the web page or the PDF documents?
The PDF document.
Okay. I don't think we can pull that up timely here on the call. And are you talking about the version 1 PDF document or the version 2 PDF document?
Version 1, well, I'm not really sure what these are. It's the new USCDI. I don't know what's – I'm still confused with version 1 and version 2.
Okay, that sounds like you're talking about the version 2 PDF document, the 14-page document. Okay.
This one we got to deal with for this meeting.
Al, I think you understand what Clem is saying, that the diagnostic imaging report is listed under the new diagnostic imaging class. But there's
right.
also a diagnostic imaging narrative. So there actually
right.
are two
right.
items
that's
there.
That's part of the reclassification. So, Clem, if I understand your question, if you're saying that, if you're suggesting that the diagnostic imaging report and the diagnostic imaging narrative are duplicative, then that's, you know, that's definitely it's a valid comment.
That's what I'm suggesting. And worse than that, when you go from the narrative, you get a single, if anyone wants to search for them, they're going to have a hell of a time, reading them with some computer system. So they're duplicative, and one of them is collapsed in like a black hole into one single infinitesimal point.
Well, we anticipated this particular piece of feedback about the duplication of diagnostic imaging report and narrative, and the same could possibly come up with the laboratory as well.
Yeah.
And that's fine. This is exactly the kind of feedback that we want and actually are already getting on that particular data element.
Yeah, and just for one more point, like at least in FHIR, where there is structure sometimes, and of course these kind of reports, the amount of structure is very, very variable. There is also a place to put the whole narrative report. I mean, the whole, the PDF or whatever the heck it is you would have gotten as an entirety.
Hans, you put a relevant comment in the chat. Do you want to put voice to that?
Yes. The, I think one of the reasons why clinical notes has been started to come up is the challenge that we have over the years, almost feels like decades, run into that CCDAs, documents, started to get very big, lots of information in it, not a good summary as to what it represents. And therefore, the balance between having narrative notes and structured data, supporting information, if you will, we've had challenges with that. And this is an attempt, an effort to right-size that so that where we talk documents, like a discharge summary or a diagnostic report or otherwise, that balance between summary and narrative and other data, that we strike a better balance between that. That CCDs in particular that have been very big, quote-unquote bloated, that there still may be a need for that kind of a data set to be exchanged to just get data back and forth, but that there is a need to have better summaries. And this seems to all play into that. And therefore, separating out notes and narrative from the data that supports that narrative and that gives the clinician's perspective on this is what that event and this visit was about, this is what the procedure was about, the highlights and the details, that if we're trying to separate it out, that we are going to effectively have the pendulum the other direction, that we have narratives but not the supporting information. So I think we're trying to strike a balance, and therefore the report seems to be the main focus that needs to have the right amount of narrative and the right amount of structured data in it and coded data in it to make that useful. And separately, that we have the opportunity to still send lots of data, called bulk, called otherwise, to exchange that, because that's just to make sure that the data sources are in sync. So that's where my comment in the chat is coming from, and also the rationale of why should narrative not be separated from the report? Why should document or diagnostic imaging narrative be part of diagnostic imaging report? Because that's where we get the entire context.
So I think what you're saying, Hans, is aligned with how I think of this, that the narrative is simply part of the report. But the report may include structured data elements as well as a text blob or more, you know, which represents the narrative. Is that a fair assessment? And Clem, is that jive with what you're saying, that these are not so much duplicative, but that one subsumes the other?
Yeah, but then I don't know that it needs an extra code. I mean, that's how FHIR is specified, and that's and you can always do that. But and still, in terms of radiology, most of the reports you see are really just clear narrative. So, but yes.
And that's
yes.
Okay. They can be more or less. It's the right amount that we're trying to aim for. And I think with CCDs in particular, the experience has been there has not been enough, and it has been very big and bloated and a challenge to get insight into it.
I think Steve has it right, but then the problem becomes, are they going to send a separate thing with just this thing called narrative without a name on it, except this general report? And I'd hope not. But I don't think it needs, I think, and it needs more explanation then.
Yeah, and I think perhaps it could be as simple as saying, you know, under diagnostic imaging, you've got diagnostic imaging order. Actually, if you go up to slide six, you've got the diagnostic imaging order, you've got the diagnostic imaging report, which then includes diagnostic imaging narrative when applicable. And I think the same is going to be true for laboratories, you know, some laboratory, and we sort of did it there in laboratory. Again, we've got values, results, we got laboratory report narrative, pathology report narrative. It really, I think that's part of the report. It seems a little different in laboratory, you know, because there, I think we called them out separately, values, results. I wonder, some diagnostic imaging will have values, results. I mean, I think about, you know, quantitative studies, mammograms, you know, DEXAs, et cetera. You know, there can be values results in the diagnostic imaging report separate from the narrative. Would that be a better way to classify it in V2, to have values results and then separate that from narrative the way it is in laboratory.
I think it would be better to say it's in the part of the report.
Leslie, your hand's up.
Yeah, my concern is if this narrative is separate in any way, can it cause other cascading problems or harm because there is no context for that narrative? So generally, the narrative is a key component of the report. And my overall concern is if we feel documents are too large as a technical group, coming up with some artificial way to chop these up is not realistic in CARE, where these context and the narrative is so important. So I don't think we're solving the right problem. If the documents are too large or we haven't classified them in a way, it's not about making them less important, but perhaps stronger vocabulary associated with it rather than splitting them up. I agree with Clem. The narrative has always been part of the report.
Okay, good. Just a heads up, we're going to be going to public comment in about 10 minutes. Let's jump back to slide 9. Any other comments about the reclassification? I think that was a really helpful discussion, Clem and Hans and Leslie. So we'll work with ONC to figure out how best to capture that.
Well, one other, if I may, in terms of imaging report, as a lot of people assume it's just radiology, and if it is, that should be asserted, but you know, even colonoscopies have images very often in the reports, you know, with the pictures of the gut. So I think it'd be useful to just have some little phrase somewhere saying, including all clinical imaging studies, retinal pictures and colonoscopies and cardiac echoes, et cetera, so that people understand that this covers the waterfront there. That'll help you a little, Terry. We'll get some. A little more stuff loaded.
I'm a little worried that we're creating a bunch of separate categories that somewhat overlap and don't really add clarity. And on the other hand, if we mash them all together, then we lose the ability to distinguish among them. I think this is a bit of a conundrum.
Well, I was told at one of the earlier meetings that ANC intended that imaging report was not equivalent to radiology reports. It included any kind of report that had imaging in it included.
Yeah, they certainly classify it as diagnostic imaging, which is, as you suggest, would include other images beyond those done in an X-ray for radiology department.
And just a question, so the difference between an imaging report and a laboratory data report?
There's no specimen in the imaging report.
Well, but as we said, I mean, some imaging reports clearly have multiple specific data elements. I mean, I think the DEXA was the example that I gave you. I mean, that a lot of data in there, very similar to a lab test.
So nothing we've said contradicts that, I don't think.
Or forbids that.
Okay. If we can go to slide 10, it's just a reminder that our task was to look at the data elements and classes from USCDI version 1. And provide any comments, additions, clarifications, modifications. There, Dan Vreeman had to leave us, but he actually recommended removing one of the elements from version 1, the assessment and plan of treatment. Did anybody have any thoughts about that? That's a big deal, saying we want to strike something from USCDI as opposed to add something. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
Well, it's too bad he's not on the call. If that's just narrative, that's already written in most notes, and so I guess so it won't cause extra work. But if it's all structured and coded, that's something that occurs routinely now, and that would be extra work for the clinical system.
Well, what he said in his comments, and again, he's going to be posting these, is it wasn't clear what this was actually looking for. Was it the assessment and plan section of a narrative note? Was it some specified element like a scale or a care plan? And I think that it's true that there is a need for more clarification of what ONC is looking for there. I'd be curious from Sasha or Hans or anybody representing a vendor, is it clear to you what that means when they say assessment and plan of treatment? Has your company sort of determined how you're going to exchange that?
So this is Sasha. The assessment and plan of treatment, I think, actually dates back to the CCDS too, so this is maybe a long-term challenge. I think, you know, from my experience, and I'll welcome Hans to chime in, folks have found ways to implement it, although I was sensitive to Dan's comment earlier that many of the things he mentioned could reasonably be considered part of an assessment and plan of treatment, and that's not likely to be consistent across systems today. So do systems include something as the assessment and plan of treatment? I think we know certification has, you know, assured that they do. Are they all consistently including the same things in sort of that category? Probably not.
But if it's meant only for human reading, it probably doesn't matter a whole lot.
Steve and I have a hand raised at an appropriate time.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Mark. Missed it.
So I'd like to hear a little bit more about the details. I think that's a pretty important structural class and element from a variety of stakeholders' perspectives, including patients. And before deleting it, I'd like to understand a little better what the problem is and look at whether the approach is to provide the structure and detail needed rather than deleting the class or element.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Mark. I think that could be our feedback as a task force.
Well,
did others have thoughts?
This Hans, when you look at generally is that the definition is not as clear perhaps as it could be, but when you look at US Core and CCDA, and that's kind of where Sasha is going as well, that there are data classes in there, care plan, goal, otherwise, that address aspects of that. And that's more on the plan of treatment side. The assessment side is where there are other capabilities out there as well. So are we consistently doing it that the same kind of data ends up in the same places using the right observations or activities or otherwise in the respective standards? Clearly, we can and need to work on that. But I'm not sure that it's a matter then of removing this or improving the definition or making perhaps a decision, the differentiation between plan of treatment versus assessment, that assessment starts to overlap with other aspects. So where does that fit? So I think it requires more work, but not necessarily a removal.
Should we discuss this more next week? Should it be on our agenda to sort of nail this down?
Yes, but just, you know, assessment plan is a traditional part of a physician's note and maybe a nurse's note, but it's what you say at the end, and it's all narrative and historically, and it's really what you think it is. That's sort of a diagnosis, but it's not necessarily. And then the plan, that's not the same as these very structured plans and care plans, which are often multidisciplinary. So it's tricky. We got to wrestle with it. I'd be cautious of putting it additional structure and having a click, click, click on physicians' back.
Yes. Thank you, Clem. Mark, I wanted to take a moment and just point out the fact that you posted a comment onto the website and included a an attached document. This was a letter that you wrote to the ONC back in October. I wanted to just bring people's attention to that as a way to provide feedback to this group and to bring ideas, again, into the public record for our discussion. I don't know, did you want to take a moment, Mark, to just say something about that document, or should we just let people go find it and review it on their own?
I'll give a quick summary so people can decide whether they would like to. We asked internally at UCSF what providers needed among the structured data elements for USCDI, and in general, they thought they needed a lot of it that's not even included in V2. So that letter explains the criteria that people use, the rationalization they use for why particular elements should either be brought in immediately or be moved up the queue. A second piece of that letter was to actually use two COVID use cases, one where the patient had COVID and was treated at home, one where the patient had COVID and had to be brought into the hospital immediately, and use that to illustrate the importance of having structured data elements now. So I think it's a good test case in current environment for understanding how important our work is and providing at least one health system's way of thinking through how to decide about including elements. Thanks much, Stephen.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, let's go on to slide 12 and just point out that all the work we did today was really focused primarily on task 1A, and we just started scratching the surface of task 1B. Actually, not even. We're really looking just about the reclassification. So we're going to cut to public comments now, and then we'll come back and talk about where we're going to go from here.
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your line from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star key. One moment while we pause for questions.
No comments. Again, let me encourage members of the public who are here and listening to not be shy about providing verbal comments at the end. Personally, I wish there were enough comments that we needed to stop 10 or 15 minutes ahead to take them, but you're all also welcome to submit comments on the website. All right. Let's go to, let's go to slide 16, I think, which just talks about our upcoming meetings. We're basically going to continue to meet on a weekly basis. I think what we proved to ourselves today is that we can dig pretty deep into these issues. Terry, you suggested coming back around to the discussion of assessment and plan of treatment next time, and I think that would be helpful if someone is prepared to draft some suggested language, clarifying that. I think if we just sort of throw it open to more, ideas, I think we could do a whole 90 minutes on that. Is there anybody who would like to take a stab at suggesting, Mark, you said that's important, we shouldn't ditch it. I think other people, Hans, you mentioned care plans and goals. I think those are called out separately in on the USCDI site. I just would have to jump back and double check that. But I think there's a general agreement that element or class, data class from USCDI version 1 is in need of some additional fleshing out. Would anyone like to take a stab at that?
Yes.
Okay. Hearing none, I'm not sure, you know, we can sort of put that up as an item to come back to at the beginning of our meeting, see if anybody has, you know, again, patient goals is in there separately from assessment and plan of treatment. And maybe people might want to take some time drilling into each of those to see whether they think there could be valuable clarification made.
Steve, I don't think we'll get, I mean, that's a huge space, and I think we could spend our life in it. And I actually think it's probably, it's what I've always used as part of a note, a physician or a caregiver's note. So I don't know whether we can make progress on that. I would dedicate a lot of time to it.
And Dan came at it from saying, you know, it's just so unclear that it's redundant and we should remove it. You know, and then Mark, I think, understandably said, whoa, 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 this is important to a lot of people. So, again, I would, you know, if people can come with some sharp ideas that are formed and we can touch on those at the beginning of our next meeting, let's. Otherwise, let's plan to really turn our attention at our next meeting to Charge 1B, the focusing on the new data classes and elements from USCDI version 2, including applicable standards. I'm sure many of you already dug into that part of your homework, but this will give you another week to dig further. I found that when I dug in there were some specific questions that I had that I personally put in as comments on the website. And I think if people want to do that, then we can sort of see what each other is thinking. Well, Terry,
Stephen, I'll jump in.
Oh, Mark?
Stephen, I'll jump in
Sorry.
To say I don't think I'm the best person to take the lead in drafting an assessment of, but I'm happy to collaborate with somebody who's perhaps more in the weeds about all of that.
See, if we sent you something today, would that be something we send in the next meeting?
Yeah. If people want to submit some ideas, I think Terry and I can massage them into something that we could discuss.
Well, I think you already got it. Now, maybe it didn't for me.
I don't know. I haven't been watching my email during our meeting here.
Oh, no, it was before. It was before the meeting.
Okay. We can look back.
Okay. Let me know.
All right. Okay. We are at time. I want to respect everybody's time and get to my next meeting. Thank you all for your participation. Any parting words for the good of the order?
You're a patient
Great.
Person.
Thank you all so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.